And this one is, next one I'm going to share with you is my prayer that this is not what you will tell me after the service. After a long and boring sermon, the parishioners filed out of church, saying nothing to the preacher. Towards the end of the line was a thoughtful person who always commented on the sermons. Pastor, today your sermon reminded me of the peace and love of God. The pastor was thrilled. No one has ever said anything like that about my preaching before. Tell me why. Well, it reminded me of the peace of God because it passed all understanding, and the love of God because it endured forever. So my prayer is that I don't hear that my sermon reminds you of the peace and love of God. With that, let's turn to Psalm 127 this morning. You brought your Bible? Please turn there. It's always good to take out your Bible and read it yourself. Yeah, we put it up on the screen, but in your own Bible, you can write notes and comments and little things here and there. Okay, Psalm 127, starting with the first verse, it reads, "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate." Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning seeking you. Lord, we want to know what you have to say to us this morning. Father, I pray for your anointing upon me as I come and preach, that you would use me to speak to your people, that you would give me the very words to speak so that they might be encouraged and blessed and that your name might be lifted up and glorified. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be present here. Now, Lord, we seek to hear from you. Speak to us, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. When I read Psalm 127, I was confused. I mean, the first couple verses seem to be going one, and then we go to verse 3, and it kind of like, where does this come from? Because we're talking about, you know, God and this, and all of a sudden, sons are a heritage. I'm like, hold it. We're talking about, you know, God has to be the builder, that, you know, if God's not watching, I'm kind of at, it's not worth, you know, we're doing things wrong. We've got to have God, God, God. And then talking about our children and warriors. I'm not seeing the connection here. You know, most of you are probably much smarter than me, so you've probably already figured this all out. So I should just end here and be done, right? Actually, there's two scriptures in the Bible that just did jump out at me when I read this. The first one that jumped out at me, because it seemed to be disjointed in the same manner and talk about the same thing. And that one's in Matthew chapter 7. The other one, it seems to talk much of the same, is over in Genesis chapter 11. What are these two stories? What are these two parts? Well, let's go to Genesis 11 and read what that one is first. You might remember this story, the Tower of Babel. Now the whole world had one language and common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used the brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may have a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible to them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Now, before I address that, let's go look at the second text that really jumped out at me. And that's Matthew chapter 7. And here we have Jesus speaking in part of what's referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And in this section, it begins in verse 15. And it says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name, drive out demons and perform many miracles.' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." Okay, you say, "Okay, Pastor, still confused. Not seeing the connection between these three." Well, maybe hopefully I can pull this together so that you see what I'm seeing, and maybe I'm just not delusional from the cold medicine. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. It's pretty clear that unless God is the one directing, doing the building, the people doing the work are wasting their time. We have that same instruction in both the story in Genesis about the Tower of Babel, and we have that in the story in Matthew. We also see the connection with fruit, progeny, or spreading out and covering the whole earth, where here talks about sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Now in Genesis story, in the story of the Tower of Babel, the issue is not that the people were out building a tower. The issue was God had told them to do something else. He told them to, one, to worship him, and two, to spread out and populate the world. Instead they, I got a better idea. Instead of everybody going, let's make a name for ourselves. They weren't worshiping God, they were looking to worship self. When we look at the story in Matthew, we have the issue with these people who are out doing their own thing and saying, "In your name, Lord, I did this. But you didn't ask me," God says. "You didn't ask me if I wanted you to do that. You just did what you felt like doing and said, 'Put my name on it.' I don't know you." That's another way of doing the same thing. Putting self first. And this is the issue at the root of Psalm 127. So if God's not in charge, it's a waste of time. Your household, your city, your church, whatever. If God isn't first, you're wasting your time, people. We see it in Babel. We see it in Matthew. Okay, it's not in Babel, but in the story of Babel. Okay. Babel is what I'm doing right now. In the story in Matthew, we have these people who come forward. And again, God's not in charge. But that's the one thing he said that needs to be. He says, "If I am in charge," in 127, then we have, this is what we have the second half at verses 3, 4, and 5. It talks about the sons are a heritage from the Lord, children reward from him, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full. And not put him to shame. Okay. Now, in this society, at this time, there's low trust. You don't trust anybody who's not flesh and blood. If they aren't closely related to you, you don't trust them. And there's a lot of places in this world today that people operate in that same methodology. So if you want to know that you're going to be taken care of, if you want to know that things are going to be okay, you surround yourself with your family. That's the best blessing that you can have. Who's going to take care of you when you get old? Well, this is the only time in the entirety of time where it's been expected that somebody other than your family would take care of you when you got old. And then it's only in a relative few countries. You get old, you better have kids to take care of you. Otherwise, what's your outlook? You're going to be by yourself? And your needs might not be met. Somebody comes against you, who can you count on to stand with you? Your family, your kids. Godly kids. Not the one who's off chasing somewhere else, but the ones who are going to stick by you. This is what is being told here. Now, our society today, you say, well, I don't need that, you know. Some people say, I'm not even sure if I want kids. How can kids be the most important blessing? Well, I have kids, and I happen to think they are, but, you know, then I'm prejudiced in that manner. I got kids. But God puts them here, and he tells us that this is one of the things that we're supposed to do. Now, I'm not saying if you don't have kids, you're an evil person. I'm just saying you're missing out on a blessing. But the blessing, it used to be that was the only blessing. That was it. That's why it's there. It's listed. If you wanted somebody to take care of you, you best have family. You best have kids. Otherwise, it wasn't going to be there. If you were going to have trouble, somebody to defend you at the city gate. Your city? Well, your cities were pretty small back then, and usually everybody was related. In your city, you're just defending against that other city over there, you know, Hatfields and McCoys kind of thing. Might be a feud. You didn't trust anybody, and don't trust them Hatfields, not if you're McCoy. None of that still goes on down south, does it? Oh, yeah. That stuff still goes on here in the city. We have it go on all sorts of places where people say, you know, if it's not my in-group, they're putting the trust there. Now, we don't want to take the blessing of family and then pervert it and put our trust there. We still want to keep our focus on where it's all supposed to be, is trusting in God. See, I don't trust in the blessing, I trust the blesser. I trust the one who gives the blessing. That's God. Psalm 127. It's a short psalm. It's one that I first looked at and I go, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders build in vain. I say, yeah, I like that. Then I read the rest of it. I said, huh? But the more I look at it, the more I see, and I look at Scripture, I see that this is a constant story. That Jesus tells us this story in Matthew, that God, through the Holy Spirit, tells us this story through the author of Genesis in the Tower of Babel, that God says, follow me, do what it is I tell you, and I will bless you. Now, let's just take one more little piece of scripture. It says, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. So the blessing of sleep, the blessing, God blesses those he loves. Who does God love? Again, using scripture to interpret scripture, I'm going to John chapter 14. And in verse 21 of 14, it says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. This is Jesus speaking. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Who does God love? Who does God love in such a way as to give his blessings? Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. I'm not saying that if you obey and trust and love Christ, that God will love you. God's Word is saying that. And God's command has been what? To love Him, to worship Him, to follow Him, to obey His command. To put Him first in all things. That's what it means to worship Him. For Him to be our God. This psalm is very simple. It's telling us that if we worship God, if we love God in all things, He will bless us with the blessing that we most need. Hopefully this didn't endure forever. Hopefully it was not beyond understanding. But it's very simple. Follow God, and He will bless you. Let's pray. Father, help us to each one honor You, to keep You first in all things. Lord, might we not allow ourselves to be first, or anything or anyone else to supplant Your place. But Lord, might we keep You always first. Might we follow Your direction always. In everything. And Lord, might we then trust that You will bless us as we have need. Might You give us those children that we need, if that's what it is indeed that we need. But Lord, that You will bless us and give us Your love. We thank You. In Jesus' name. And let's close by saying,